Lynn, can you start us off by describing what a typical course would look like in the new online format?
Sure. Well, first, let me say that, you know, the University of Delaware is like a big ocean liner, you know, with 18,000 undergraduates, 4,000 grad students, and 1,300 faculty. So we've asked people to try to turn this big ship on a dime, and I think that faculty and staff have really stepped up to the challenge. Some have taught online before for years, and they're helping their colleagues, and others are new to teaching virtually, and I think they've really jumped in to embrace the technology and revise their courses. But I'll give you an example. So some courses are easy to think about doing this. And so if you have a course that's typically done with a lecture, some of our faculty are using this opportunity to do what we call flipped classes. So they are recording their lecture so that students can listen to it at any time. And then they're using the regularly scheduled class time to be a time when faculty will use Zoom and have be able to interact, answer questions from their students, and maybe clarify concepts, things like that. So that's one thing that will happen.
Got it. Okay, and so you mentioned the video conferencing platform Zoom. I'm curious, does the university have the digital infrastructure to move all of these classes online? Sharon, can you tell us a little bit about the logistics of the transition?
Sure, absolutely. We are very fortunate to have many tools that are available to our faculty and to our students to be able to be in the online environment. We have a learning management system, which is Canvas. We have classroom recording tools and what is our UD Capture tool. We have our video conferencing kind of capability, which is the Zoom tool, which Lynn referred to. We have software as a service that allows students to both download tools that they might want to use for productivity associated with their courses, but we also have specialty software for the science technology fields, things like Mathematica and Stata and SPSS, very specific kind of tools that are needed for the success of these students. And our library, museums, and press is a part of this as well in terms of the access to online journals, as well as a new service that we're rolling out called Yellow Dig, which allows course engagement in many of the courses to just enrich discussion. So we have a very full-featured portfolio of tools that allow learning to happen in many, many different kinds of ways. And we have a very robust infrastructure to try and support that on our campus.
So I imagine different courses would translate online differently. Are there some courses that are really hard to transform to this format? And how is UD helping those faculty members do it?
Sure. This is Lynn. So you can imagine that lab classes, many of our science lab classes, could be really difficult. And one of the things that we're working with faculty to do is to do the lab demonstration and record it themselves so that students can observe the techniques that are used. We have faculty who are going out and into the field because they have to, you know, it's a course on insects, and they are going out and videoing the insects in the field as they would have done, taken students into the field to do observations in the field. Other classes I think that are difficult to translate might be some of our music and art classes. So we've worked out so that if, it's easy for students and faculty to use Zoom for a one-on-one lesson, say if you're taking violin, for example. If it's more of an ensemble, we've suggested that for duets, you can have one student play his or her part and record it, send that recording to the other student who records himself or herself playing with the recorded music. So you get the two blended together. It's a little more difficult when you think about an orchestra and how we're going to do that. And we haven't, quite honestly, worked out all of those answers yet.
You know, I can add as a generalist, my husband is actually a student in the art conservation program, and he has all of his paints and such at home for his color mixing and matching course. And his faculty member is going to record and give lectures, and the students are going to be using Zoom so that the faculty member can review and comment on their work from wherever it is that they happen to be doing their color mixing and matching.
So what about students who don't have access to Wi-Fi or a computer at home?
I think it's good to know that the Federal Communications Commission has put out a pledge that many people are signing, many corporations are signing, which is called a Keep Americans Connected. And we've made available on our Learn From Home site. So if you go to the udel.edu/coronavirus site, there are sections on learning from home, teaching from home, and working from home. And the learning from home provides information about the different kinds of internet connectivity that can be provided, as well as the corporations that are trying to provide either very reduced cost plans or no cost plans for our students to be able to access internet. With regard to laptops, we are trying to find every single laptop across the institution that's not in use somewhere. And our IT division can take those in, make sure that they are appropriately secured. And for those students who really need it, we're trying to make sure that those laptops are available to them for that kind of access to take their courses. Well, I know you've been working on this as well from the Office of the Provost perspective, if you wanted to add anything to that.
I think one of the other things is that for students who don't have ready access to computers and internet, that is one reason for students who are in the residence halls to stay in the residence hall.
For many very, very, very rural areas, there is not necessarily internet connectivity that can even be provided. So one's absolutely right. We don't want to disenfranchise our students because they live in an area which one calls a last mile connection, and make sure that they have access to these opportunities to continue their education at UT for the rest of the semester.
So in general, I guess, what would you say to any students who are feeling like, you know, if I wanted an online program for school, I could have gotten it for cheaper. You know, I paid for UD with all the in-person contact with professors and hands-on experiential learning, and, you know, now we're moving to online classes.
I think that actually, you know, sometimes online is more expensive to actually produce well. And students will, in my view, a lot of what students are paying for when they come to the University of Delaware is access to our faculty, and it's still our faculty who will be teaching these courses, and faculty will be available in their virtually, you know, for office hours and other interaction with their students.
I think that's a really good point, Lynn. The exceptional faculty and programs that we have here are something that I think our students are going to want to have access to and continue their instruction the rest of the semester. You know, we're in an emergency event, and I've just been so proud and pleased of the work, as you mentioned at the beginning, of this, of our faculty, of the staff, of the people who are supporting them and supporting the students to make sure that they have the best possible University of Delaware experience while we're in this very challenging moment.
Lynn and Sharon, thank you so much.
Thank you for inviting us.